Today, of course, we have the internet, we have Amazon.com, we have Christian book distributors. Back when I was in seminary and I had to buy books and was reading a lot of books, Bren Rapids had Baker Bookhouse connected with Baker Publishing, they had Erdman's Bookstore connected with Erdman's Publishing. I could buy seconds from them. But most Christians got their books in Christian bookstores, and they were all over the country, and the internet has sort of taken a bite out of Christian bookstores, as they have out of all bookstores, in fact. And I was always a little bit disturbed to go into Christian bookstores because I was always looking for these big theological books, and the aisles were full of mugs, plaques, wall hangings, this and that, any little kitschy thing that they could find with a cute little saying. And I always thought, oh, this is annoying. Where are all the books? Well, actually in 2020, when the pandemic hit, Christian bookstores that had already been assailed by the internet, they needed new ways to stay open. So Christian retailers across the country sold masks with the messages, "Not today, Satan," and "This too shall pass," as well as "Faith over fear," "Blessings beyond belief," and "It is well with my soul," and somehow survived the pandemic.
T.S. Lewis.
What's that?
T.S. Lewis is a good book.
That is a good book. He is a good writer.
That's from Mount Hermon.
So I have to sort of reframe my my annoyance at kitsch, and I didn't even know the sort of the origin of the word. Kitsch is a term used to describe art, objects, or design that are considered to be in poor taste because of excessive garishness or sentimentality, but sometimes appreciated in an ironic or knowing way. Terms is often used to describe things that are tacky, like a car mirror, dice, plastic flamingos, and dashboard hula dancers. Guess the word comes from the German. Now, here's the problem. I don't generally like these things, but the reason stores are full of them is because people do. People love this stuff. In fact, there's an ongoing discussion on my YouTube channel as to whether or not I should sell merch. Some people are like, no, you shouldn't sell merch. But I'm like, and other people are like, yeah, you should definitely sell merch. Wouldn't you love to see socks with my picture on them? We'll have a little bookstore here at Living Stones, all the Paul Vanderclay merch. So that when good people come up from Southern California, oh, I can get the evolution of Paul's beard. Sometimes it's big, sometimes it's short. You can vote on which one you like best. The chapter we're dealing with today is a gold mine for Christian kitsch. What do I mean by that? Chapter for chapter in the Bible, Philippians 4 has so many of the sayings and verses and quotations that have made it on to Christian plaques, Christian mugs, Christian bookmarks, you name it. People have mined Philippians 4 for just about everything you can imagine. T-shirts, socks, who knows what all. People have taken the words of this chapter and sold them on things that people love to buy. And when I was reading through this chapter and thinking about this chapter, I thought, I just have to subdue the elitist in me and go for it. Because the truth is, all of these things are good. And they help people in difficult circumstances get through their hard times. Now the chapter begins with something quite remarkable. Most of the New Testament, you know, you're talking to this church, Paul writes to this church, writes to that church, he usually doesn't drop names. Now, unlike the church at Corinth that we spent weeks talking about all their various problems that certainly would have raised eyebrows, the book of Philippians is one of Paul's most beloved, gentle, encouraging letters. But chapter 4 shows the Philippian church was a real church. Why? Because the people were having trouble getting along. He begins the chapter this way. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, who I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. Well, that just sounds, oh, that's just nice, Paul being nice. Then he says, I plead with Eudia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel. Help them with what? Help them get along. Now, I'm not going to name names. Paul named names. And now, these letters were intended to go to the church and to be read publicly. So can you imagine the scene in the Philippian church when Paul calls out these two women and says to the church, help these women get along. And now I know a whole bunch of you, your mouths are shut, but your minds are turning. Because you have been there. You might have been party to it, or you might have seen others. And they're not always women, but sometimes they are. And they're lovely women. They love the Lord. They want what's best. But they've all got their own ideas, and boy, are they determined to have their way done. And so here, at the beginning of this most plaque-worthy chapter in the New Testament, Paul pauses and says, oh, by the way, ladies, work on it a little bit, please. Yes, I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. He's not saying they're not Christian. He's not saying they're wrong. He's just saying, ladies, work on your relationship, work it through. And in fact, he sort of goes back to chapter 2. Your attitude should be that of Christ Jesus. Basically to not think too much of yourself, to have a little bit of humility and to submit to each other, and in that way, hopefully, to find a way to carry the ball forward. But then the greatest hits begin. And this one little section, these three little verses, you're going to find this again and again through these sermons. I'm going to read these texts, and you're going to be like, I know this text. I've heard this all my life, perhaps. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. This summer at Synod, everybody knew it was going to be a contentious Synod. Paul DeVries, who was president of the Synod, would train the entire Synod. He would say, rejoice in the Lord, again I say, and the whole Synod would say, rejoice. And we just keep reminding them, okay, we've got contentious things. We don't always get along, but rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say,
rejoice.
There we go. And we say it together. We have the sense of, all right, we're fighting about the color of the carpet. We're fighting about exactly how many shades of white there should be on the walls. We're fighting about exactly how many handicapped spots we should have in the parking lot, but rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say,
rejoice.
There we go. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Now, I'll tell you something about human beings that is a secret to none of you, but you especially notice this as a pastor. People are anxious. What do I mean, people are anxious? People worry. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has a command. Do not worry. And when I remind people that that is a command, they roll their eyes and they say, how am I supposed to not worry? I worry like I breathe. I worry about this. I worry about that. Pastor, why do you say I shouldn't worry when there's so much to worry about? Now, Jesus wades in and says, but how much of your worry has actually stopped the bad things from happening? If you worry about it, do you think that's going to stop it? So here Paul says, when you're anxious, this is what you're supposed to do. Do not be anxious about anything. I can't do that. Okay. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, there's the answer. Are you worried? Tell God. Are you worried? Ask God. Are you worried? Now, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, so in other words, while you're worrying, say, Lord, I need this, I need this, I need this, I'm worried about this. With thanksgiving, so then you should pause and say, now, wait a minute. Maybe I'm worried about my child because I have a child. So I should thank God for my child. Maybe I'm worried about my job because I have a job. And I should thank God for my job. Maybe I'm worried about the house, but I have a house. And so I should thank God for my house. In other words, okay, you've got your worries. Bring it to God with prayers, petition, with thanksgiving. Present your requests to God. Are you anxious? You should pray. Now you're going to talk to the pastor, you're going to talk to your friends, and you're going to talk to your kids or your parents or whomever. I know you're going to do that. But bring your worries to God. And here's a promise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Again, very famous. People, oh, this peace that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Another one, next verse. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Now remember, we just finished this little section on worry. So first Paul says, when you're worried, take it to God with thanksgiving. And then he says, take your attention off the thing that you're worrying about and put it on whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. Think about these things. See, this kitschy chapter full of, I even found these things on the internet. This is a little cut out of a person's face. These are so popular. Why? Because they really help a lot of people. I'm worried. Okay, I'll pray. And I'll wait for God's peace, and I'm going to focus on the good things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. In other words, just like Paul said last week in chapter 3, watch me, learn from me, and then you'll learn. And this fact we do not just with Jesus or Paul or other people from the Bible. We learn it from each other. We look for saints around us. We look for someone who doesn't worry, someone who's more mature in the faith, someone who knows a little bit more, someone who is more practiced, and we learn from them. And the peace of God, the shalom of God, the blessings of God will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. For I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance. There's another one, even though I didn't make a plaque out of it. It's right there. I have learned to be content in all circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. Paul says, now in prison, hey, I've had a rich life. I've learned what it is to get what I want, and I've learned what it is to live without what I need. And in each case, God has been with me. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Now, I've heard a number of you say this. Now, it's a little different in some of the little dance. I can do all things through God who gives me strength. How many of you have ever said that? Yeah. It's another big one. I can do all things through God who gives me strength. Yet it was good for you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out for Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. Paul is here saying basically that the Philippian church has been paying attention, has been generous with him, and he says, you've gone above and beyond, and the main thing is not so much that I'm grateful for what you've done, but that God has seen your sacrifice and your gifts, and what I want is the reward that God will give you more than what I have needed from you, because again, he just said, I've learned to give, I've learned to live with much, and I've learned to live with little. I'm content in either situation, but what I want to give you is the opportunity to give so that you will be blessed by God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Again, I just find this on the internet. Someone has made a little thing out of a box, but here it is, because Christian after Christian, generation after generation, when they're in trouble, they sit down and they pray and they ask and they read this verse, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, and they get that little bit they need just to get through the day. It might be on a wall hanging. It might be on some socks. They might have put it on a tie. You don't know what they've slapped this thing on, but here it is. And a Christian somewhere got that little encouragement to get through the day. And he ends the letter. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. The brothers and sisters who are with me, send greetings. All God's people here send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Now, the funny thing is, lots of things change, but human miseries don't change that much. There's politics, there's technology, there's wars, there's times of plenty and times of want. All kinds of different ways about it, but health and wealth and relationships are the perpetual struggle. It's what I hear as a pastor all the time from you. How are you doing? Well, you can just say fine, and then we go on with the day, or sometimes you say, well, this is going on, and that's going on, and I'm worried about this, and this is causing me pain, and I don't have enough of this, or I've got too much of that. Life is made up of all of these things. And what's amazing about this last chapter is that Paul has all of these little nuggets that have helped people for 2,000 years deal with what people have to deal with. What do people have to deal with? Well, these two people aren't getting along. Well, we love them both, but they're fighting about the color of the carpet. Okay. They're fighting about so-and-so should have said such-and-such, and this should have been done this way, but they wanted to do it that way, and then this thing happened, and okay, take a deep breath. Let's give these things to God. Let's get on with the day. Let's not burn our bridges between us. Life is hard, and it's seldom fair. We need encouragement, hope, and a vision that God cares and will make things right for us. Christianity begins with a God, begins not with a God who is excluded from the common sufferings of our world, but one who enters into them with us. While there are sometimes miraculous deliverances, like we saw Paul in the Philippian prison in the book of Acts, sometimes he just stays in prison. And Nero, at some point, is going to take his head off. And he realizes that at some point, you get into an end, and maybe you're in a terminal condition, and you just wait on the Lord, because that's what you've got. And Paul says, I've learned in all these circumstances to be content. And he's walked through them in the book. If I'm with you, I'll get to serve you and encourage you. If the Lord takes me, that's okay too. I'll be with the Lord. Nothing in this world can really take this from me. But in the day-to-day struggles, we need little things. Maybe printed on some socks, maybe a silly little bow tie, maybe in a kitschy saying on the back of a t-shirt. We need a little help. The promises of God to us are for the large and the small, the extraordinary and the ordinary sufferings. He meets us where we're at, and he gives us encouragements along the way. He gives us words to hold on to that are memorable and need to be devoted to memory. He gives us hope that we are not alone, but in the end, he will triumph for us and through us. So, what I thought we'd do is we just read these plaque-worthy sayings together. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Maybe next time you come to me and got some tale of woe that you've told me 10 times, I might repeat this verse to you and say, I'm not saying these aren't important. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying any of these things. But for now, think about these things. Try that. Here's another one. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Here's a biggie. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Say that in any version you want. And the last one. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, I don't have a Christian bookstore. I didn't make up some kitsch. I don't have any merch for you. But think about these things. Let's pray. Lord, you are good. And our attention is all over the place. We don't always know what we should do, and the problems of this world assail us. Lord, the longer we live, the age of decay just starts eating at the fringes. The aches and pains well up. We don't have the strength of our youth. Things that were little problems 30 years ago in a loved one's life might now be a huge problem. There are issues and concerns we don't have any ability to resolve. And yet, Lord, you ask us to trust. You encourage us to not sit and worry ourselves to death. And you give us practical ways to address our own anxiety and our psychology. And you give us all these little memorable things. And Lord, through the grace of the printers and free market system, they're on plaques, they're on socks, they're on ties, they're on t-shirts, they're all over the place. May these things, Lord, remind us of your goodness to us. May we put them in our hearts, and may we look to you when times are tough. Hear our prayer. In the name of Jesus, amen. Would you stand?